Hundreds of government and industry leaders from across the globe during the Worldwide Cybersecurity Summit in London. The goal, to come up with an international cybersecurity policy. Joining us now is J.R. Reagan, the Federal Solutions Group leader with Deloitte & Touche, and he attended the summit. He works extensively on cybersecurity issues. Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And I wanted to clarify, is it Reagan or Reagan? I don't want to get it wrong.
It's Reagan. Thank you.
And why is international cyber cooperation so significant now?
Well, we've seen a spate of incidents just recently in the news with Google and other countries that really show how important this is for nations to get together on the topic. We haven't had that in the past. We've had a lot of sort of cooperation in the background, but no formal standards that say, here's the rules of the road to operate in cyberspace, especially when it comes to cybersecurity.
Now, just a couple of weeks ago, the administration came out with its international policy proposal for cybersecurity. Is there a connection between that coming out then and this summit taking place now?
Yeah, I think you're seeing a lot more of the international flavor of cybersecurity and cyber incidents. Certainly, the administration has been very active in how to deal with cybersecurity both at a national level, on a private sector level, and what you're seeing now with the international cooperation. And I think it's very good timing that we see the international summits like the East-West Institute happening in London. Over 50 nations participated in that event. That's up from 40 nations last year, all focused on cybersecurity.
Was anything decided upon at the summit? And if so, who would be taking point on it?
Well, I think this is more of a collaboration, move the ball down the road rather than nations deciding anything at the summit. But certain things did come out of there. There were certainly some agreement on the need for international collaboration in cyberspace, things like international law, norms and behavior on cyber conflict, emergency response, those sorts of things. And some things around rules of the road. How do we operate in cyberspace? We don't have those norms yet. And then one last thing that was very interesting was involving youth in the dialogue. There was a youth summit beforehand. It really talked about their involvement in these issues.
And I wanted to ask you, too, what the flavor of cooperation internationally is shaping up to be. I mean, there's one school of thought that says the treaty is the way to go. The other school of thought is that cooperation between law enforcement agencies internationally is the way to go. Are we seeing a hybrid approach emerge here?
Sure, it's all the above. You would not respond to cybercrime with, weapons of mass destruction, as some people would say, in the cyberspace. You would also not respond to a nation-state attack with maybe FBI resources. These are different types of things that are necessary, so approaching cybercrime differently than potentially a destructive attack from a nation-state. Those are different things. So we need treaties, we need laws, we need norms of behavior, all those things.
We are talking with J.R. Reagan. He is a principal with Deloitte & Touche and the Federal Solutions Group leader. He has also just returned from the Worldwide Cybersecurity Summit in London. Is there any consensus about what it takes to fight cyber criminals across borders like that?
Well, I think the consensus is that we need to start from the basics. We know how to deal with crime and norms of behavior in other ways, trade and laws of warfare, et cetera. We don't have those equivalents in cyberspace. So the very starting point of this is getting those norms, getting those different types of agreements first. So then we can address the things that come out of that, the anomalies, the things that we need to enact those treaties on, and we don't have those. So that's really the starting point right now.
Give us an idea of who is there, because some of the countries we have to deal with here are places we don't exactly trust that much in cyberspace, like Russia, for example. Who was at the summit you were at, and how did everybody get along?
Yeah, we certainly see most of the major players in the world staged today. The European nations, obviously, Asian nations, China and India were there, for example. And one important point I think that the summit really likes to highlight each year is that we do have countries there that may not see eye to eye. They have different norms in their own society on what they think is important around things such as privacy and security. But having that dialogue and starting that is very important, and things like that East-West Institute are very important in terms of getting this started.
So then from your perspective, did it appear that everybody had the same goal? It was just how to get from point A to point B that they had to agree upon?
Same goal, I think different maybe expectations on what is expected in on the world stage and things like privacy, for example. But absolutely the same goal. They see security as very important to their economies as well, just as the U.S. does. So absolutely they were incented to have that dialogue, and there will certainly be a lot more dialogue that comes out of that summit.
Now, you're from the private sector, and this is nations that are trying to figure this out. What's the interplay between the private sector in other countries and the national governments? How does that all work out?
Yeah, it's certainly the case in the U.S. that a majority of the critical infrastructure is in private hands. And we've seen that it's absolutely critical that both the public and private sector play together in terms of solving this problem. And at the very end point, we're talking about citizens and we're talking about economies that get affected by this. So the public-private partnership and how that gets constructed and actually how it acts together in times of response is absolutely critical. And so we're certainly involved in a lot of this type of dialogue.
And there's a treaty that goes back, golly, 20 years or so. And it's not the Warsaw Treaty, but I'm trying to remember the city that is named in this that has been kind of the controlling treaty for cyber for these past 20 years as I'm scrolling through the strategy here. And did you get the sense that there's going to be a whole new treaty to restart the whole effort since cyberspace has advanced so much in the past 20 years?
I'm not sure if it's going to be a restart or a whole new treaty, but I do see that there will be updates to things that exist today. And certainly if you look at even the NATO articles that are out there, the UN articles, they have language in them around, behavior and attacks and response and things like that. But it doesn't specifically call out cybersecurity, and that's where I think people are wrestling. What constitutes an attack in the cyber world? What constitutes damage, collateral damage, and things like that? We need to update the terminology and update what these treaties are intended to do.
And just give us an idea of what comes next now that this summit has taken place and our strategy from the United States is published. Where do we go from here?
So you'll see more activity at a global level, just as we've seen with Secretary Clinton, and more international dialogue between governments on setting how they want to do these treaties and potentially move those down the road. We'll see more interaction between agencies at a national level, like we're seeing now with DHS and Cyber Command and those sorts of things. And we're going to see an increasing amount of activity between the public world and the private world. And we've seen that just recently with the Department of Commerce putting out a statement, trying to get some voluntary standards out there for industries and being able to bring them into this fold as well.